Okay, this is the Marysville Exempted Village Board of Education regular meeting of Monday, December 27th, 2010. I get a roll call, please.
Mr. Mayor.
Here.
Freudenberg.
Here.
Franklin.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Mr. Last.
Here.
Okay, could you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Exactly. Okay, adoption of the agenda. There are no addendums, add-ons, or otherwise. There are no questions or corrections. I need a motion to accept the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Breaker.
Yes.
Mr. Breaker.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is Justin. I'm afraid I'm going to ruin his last name.
Let it try.
Employee of the month.
Justin Burke Troy. Come on up, Justin. Justin is our December employee of the month, November employee of the month. We do it in arrears. Justin works in the receiving center and moves stuff throughout the district every day in a timely manner. And we certainly appreciate all the deliveries, everything that gets moved. It's one central spot. It means in the old days, everybody had to leave the building to go to do their mail, and everything was pretty inefficient. So he's made us a heck of a lot more efficient, and because of that, he's being recognized by his peers. Again, that's probably the ultimate compliment, to be recognized by everybody who sees what you do and the value you bring. So, Justin.
All right, thank you for all that you do for us. Okay, I move that we accept Justin Murgatroyd as the November Employee of the Month.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Franker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, before I go any further, if you want to address the board tonight, if you would mind filling out one of these. I already have one. For someone who wants to speak to the board during our discussion of the documentary movie. So if that's someone else who would like to, I'm going to carve out a little bit of time during that discussion for public participation. So if you wouldn't mind filling out one of these. They're right there on the back table. And just pass them up, and then we'll put you on the list. All right, moving on. The Finance Committee report. I believe Monty Statz is here with our Finance Committee to present their findings to the board. At first, I would like, before we even get started, I'd like to thank you guys and that whole committee for the incredible amount of time and effort that I know you folks have put into that. So,
I'd like to take this opportunity again. My name is Monty Statz. I'm the chair of the Finance Committee. And I'd like to recognize the committee that are here with us tonight just because of their hard work over the last 6 months. This evening, we have Kathy Alexander, Jeff Gross, Valerie Kessler, Tim Schilling, and Jeff Wurzburg. Also, not in attendance, or they didn't walk in the door and I missed them, Jillian Froman, Scott Johnson, Brian Ravencraft, Leah Sellers, and Bruce Valentino. Each of these folks has put an awful lot of time and energy over the last 6 months helping to get us on track for what I term a very eventful decision-making process in the area. There's no news to anyone at this point that there's talk about some changes in school funding from the Ohio Department of Education. And we figured rather than be behind it, we should probably try to get out in front of it as best we can. So what we've got this evening is simply a summary that just kind of reflects what we were doing in the initial phase of our work over these past 6 months. During this time, over the past 6 months, what we chose to do was initially review the performance audit that was conducted by the Ohio States Department that was released in August of 2009. And we thought we would just start there to see what we could glean from it. We did approach everything at a high level. We did not get into too much minutia going forward until we could see what ideas we thought resonated and were applicable in the desert. Oh my goodness gracious. You don't want that.
Use your inside voice, Bonnie.
Can you hear me now?
Already.
Also, I'd like to point out that the committee is not making any decisions or formulating recommendations at this time. We're just suggesting that further analysis be used in all the areas that we're going to outline this evening. Something else that's kind of important that we want to stress is that that audit that was released by the Auditor of State in 2009 is, for all intents and purposes, the past. An awful lot has changed since that time, and we're most concerned about building forward as a school district and as a community. So what we can learn from the past, great, but we are definitely focused on where we're going at this time. Just in the executive summary here, we did review that performance audit. It says 2007 because the numbers that we're using for that audit, although released in 2009, were actually based on fiscal year 2007-2008. So you can see that we're already moving, looking at 2011 at this point in time. And so we do kind of consider the numbers that were used and keep that in mind to move forward. One of the first things that you need to understand when reviewing this audit is that the thrust of it was to compare operations within this district, choices that we make in running our schools as compared to other districts within the state. The methodology was such that they selected 10 peer districts to compare our schools with. Those are actually, I know it's a little difficult to see this evening, but the districts in the blue type are the ones that were actually selected for the comparison purposes. However, the reason I put 28 districts up here is that they had to go through 28 districts that are similar as per the Ohio Department of Education to find the 10 that they were going to compare us to. The reason for that being that the additional criteria were not just demographics, the size of the district, population, student density, these things. But the other two criteria were that they had to be high-performing school districts and they had to be spending average dollars as per the state average to qualify for this. So any of these districts that you see here in the black type, they were either spending more money than we do or they were not considered to be as effective as we are. And I think that's pretty telling right there. Something else to keep in mind is the peer districts the similar districts that the Ohio Department of Education refers to is actually a moving target just the way our financial forecasts are. They change year to year. So some of the districts that we were compared to purposes of the audit, you'll actually find have moved out of that group and could be replaced by another district if something has changed qualitatively or quantitatively.
Is there a significance for the digits on there?
I'm sorry? That's just the ranking. Green, local, and thanks, Jeff, because you did just jog my memory on that one. We discussed this, and I would say that probably these first couple of districts that you see right here, if we have a need in the future to see what we're doing and how that compares to someplace else, the ones that you're seeing here ranked 1 down through 14 are a lot closer to Marysville than the ones 15 through 28.
Are those your rankings or those ODE's rankings?
That's ODE's rankings.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, I think that's it for that slide. Next, we wanted to give you a pie chart because Valerie was insistent that we have a couple graphs just to keep it all nice and something that we want to look at. This is just a breakdown currently of how funds are spent within the district. And for those of you, the title is a little small here. Salaries, obviously, are the biggest portion of our expenditure, followed by fringe benefits, moving on to purchase services, supplies, equipment, and other. We do have the actual percentage numbers if you folks need them, but they're readily available in most of the reports and literature we've got, so that should fall us away when they go through the percentage numbers. Is that a yes, John?
Yes. Could you
you
can just rattle them off real quick.
Salary, 62.93. Fringe benefits, 21.03. Purchase services, 8.95%. Supplies, 3.23. Equipment, 0.62. And other would be 3.24. I've learned to add those percentages to our next pie chart. So
that's fine. Thank you.
Our next chart is actually looking at those expenditures, what they were type by function. And I'm just going to start with percentages right here. The regular instruction is at 54.51%. Support services, 13.66%. Board of Education, 0.08%. Administration, 6.3%. Fiscal services, 2.55%. Business services, 1.9%. Operations, 10.55%. Transportation is at 4.9%. Support services, 1.82%. Community, 0%. Extracurricular, 1.99%. And debit payment, 1.73%. Right. The first section that we looked at within the performance audit was their recommendations on financial systems within the district. And we found as we went through and were working with Cindy on this that quite an awful lot that had been recommended in the audit is either in place or is in the process of being in place. So the things that we wanted to stress this evening were that we feel it's important to continue with the clean audits and meeting the accounting standards as we're currently doing. Also, the planning with the district leadership is going to be key to our success in the future. The internal controls, that's tightened up quite a bit. We want that to maintain. Utilize a new ethics software that's currently being rolled out within the district. And that's in line with the Ohio ethics laws. Continuing to organize current practices and policies to better inform the staff and the public. I think Cindy found when she came in that there were some things that traditionally in the past was common knowledge, so to speak, that maybe we had not quite gotten to the point where things were written down, and that is changing and will continue to change. Also, continuing updates and reviewing the five-year forecast. So that's what we have for the financial system section. The next area that we looked at was staffing, and again, knowing what we know about the future and proposed or projected budget cuts, for lack of a better term, we know that there are going to need to be some things on the table in the future that maybe we never would have considered in the past. We know that we're going to have to look at some things and ask some questions and try to come up with the best solutions we can with whatever's dealt to us. So in the spirit of that, in looking at the staffing, we figured it was probably important at this point in time to start looking at the current levels of the SDRS and SERS pickups. Also, to look at the appropriate levels that we feel we can utilize to accomplish the district's mission with nurses, teachers, aides, clerical staff, and administrative positions. We also think it's important for us to continue to evaluate the possible use of volunteers and clerical paid positions, anything that we can do that may not involve additional stress on that salary number that we were looking at in the future. Also, the possibility to maybe utilize the relationship with High Point a little differently and see if maybe we could move some students to actually flesh out some clerical assistance that way. So we're just trying to be creative. Again, no recommendations so much as why don't we look at this and consider it in the future. In addition, state and federal regulations, on staffing, I think it's something that we're going to have to look at on the go forward, just to make sure that we're in line with what is required, and to know where maybe we're higher than what is required. Evaluating the option to reduce the number of periods per day. I know I've heard that discussed in the past, but this is something we're going to look at again in the future. Short and long-term benefits, there's been some concern about the use of early retirement incentives, but again, I think as we learn more about how we've done things and what our options are, we'll be able to present some recommendations in the future. Current process on staff evaluations, we're suggesting that maybe it's time for us to look closely at the business world out there, see how they're handling that evaluations, promotions, demotions, salary changes, and maybe see if there's something we can learn there that might be applicable with us in the future. Next is wages. Again, we started with expenditure there, and wages are a significant portion of that. We're thinking that it might be worthwhile in the future to look at possibly a tiered salary schedule in terms of working with the staff that's currently employed and grandfathering something in for new hires and such. Also, taking a fresh look at the salary steps. Maybe they could be tied a little more closely to a cost of living index. Possibly, if the need were to arise, we would suggest looking at freezing steps. So, again, we're not trying to cause a stir, so much as saying I think we need to be very deliberative in where we're going in the future, because every dollar is going to count in maybe a way that it hasn't been supported. Also, evaluate the process for pay and tenure performance. It's something I know has been discussed in the past, but we're going to consider talking about that. Next, in terms of benefits, that was actually something that the performance review gave us some pretty high scores on. I think we've done a pretty good job in the past in terms of how we've shopped some plans and tried to do the very best in terms of coverage while saving on expenditure. We would say that, on the going forward, we're probably going to have to look at, all the options that are available to us, employee contributions, plans, health savings account, dental vision, even looking at plan providers, doing the same beverage, but trying to find something different that, can give us a better bang for a buck, so to speak. So again, those are ideas that we've had on the benefits. Next is curriculum, and again, this is something very dear to the members of the NAGES, because we're definitely talking education right here. This is something that's impacting students, just the way that the teachers that we have on staff impact the students. In the area of curriculum, we're interested in how we can maintain the course offerings that we have, while at the same time making sure that we've got enough students in those classes to justify their existence. Looking at the schedule and how we get those things is something that we'll be very keen on in the future. The high cost, low enrollment courses are also something I think we need to look at. How much is it costing to educate a child in one classroom based upon laboratory supplies and everything else that might be included in that versus where there's really very minimal overhead except cost of the textbook. So again, that's something we'll be able to look at. Evaluate the optimum utilization of High Point relationship. Again, we keep coming back to High Point. This is where we had a little bit of spirited discussion and some brainstorming that's going here. We've got a reciprocal relationship going here.
let's make sure that, you know, we're getting the most out of that relationship that we possibly need. Options for reading this non-core class offerings, you know, we're probably going to be feeling some pressure in the future to look at that and say, if it's not core, it may not be mission critical at this point in time, just because we can't offer everything that we have been accustomed to offer. So we just want to raise that right now and say it's something that's going to need to be considered probably in the road ahead. State minimum curriculum, you know, I think this is kind of where it starts. And part of this, and you'll hear it again when we get towards the end of the presentation here, is, you know, we're going to suggest that at some point in time, it'll be helpful to get us hooked up with the standards committee, simply because an awful lot of this decision making as to, you know, who we are and who we want to be and where we want to go is going to be driven by the standards that we're going to need. So we need to raise that idea at this point in time. On to extracurricular, I'll spend a little bit of time just trying to figure out what exactly it is that we're offering to students that isn't part of the core curriculum, and trying to come up with ways that we can maintain what we've got, while at the same time looking at the student control, try to move to things that are costing it whenever possible. So yeah, we're going to continue with the cost there. Often the number of positions, the possibility that we're a little heavy in some areas and we don't need that much staff for an extracurricular. Also, there was a thought that possibly we can look at, you know, some cost savings if we can look at writing contracts in the future in such a way where they include some work with the children in the extracurricular realm. So again, we're brainstorming, not a full recommendation, so much as saying these are things we might want to consider in the future. Operations and facilities, this is something where, again, we were given very high marks in the audit, so we don't have an awful lot of bullet points here. But the two things in our mind were obviously, we know that we're probably not going to have students in East with the middle school for a while. And a lot of our options there to kind of utilize this facility in the appropriate manner and not to be spending money unnecessarily for the leasing out or something. It's a possibility. We also looked at the administrative building. And, you know, could offices be relocated someplace else within the district? And again, we might be able to realize the savings of a few dollars. So, we appreciate the fact that operations and facilities are going very, very well, but in the future we may have to rethink a couple more things to try to get where we want to go. Purchasing. Again, I think the district has shown that it does a fine job on trying to leverage purchasing power and things. We suggest that continue. New ideas or mechanisms become available to us that we act upon those in a way that we do save some money and we make them better for the students. In terms of evaluating the opportunities to leverage services by connecting with other districts, I've heard in the past that, you know, when we've tried to do that, it's the other districts that usually win because we've already got a pretty good deal. I don't know if we can get any type of a reduction in our costs because we're signing up people. I'm not suggesting a pyramid scheme, but, you know, again, every little bit might help. So, you know, if we can put some people up and make it help us also, that may be something we want to look at. Finally, transportation. Again, we made gains for transportation. You know, part of it came from decisions on how we were going to run routes and, you know, radiuses and such things. We're going to want to continue to look at that when we go forward. We think we probably need to take a look at some actual costs now versus where they were in the audit when we go forward. We're also aware that the state reimburses us money based upon the level of service that we provide. So this may be something where we think that we're going to create a windfall, and that will not be the case. Or we may actually find that we could change something and actually be in a much better position financially. So again, things that we'd like to suggest that we'd be working on next year. Oops, one more food service.
food service for anyone that's attended the board meetings over the last year or so. I've just been some of the accolades about food service. I mean, we're running that portion of operation with the LAC, and that's just such a beautiful thing. Just putting it right back into the general fund. I think that's great, and we'd like to stress that we keep that up, keep looking for new ideas, new ways to sharpen what we're doing, and possibly there are some things that we can learn from the approach in food service that we can apply to other areas in the district as well. So that's the goal on food service. Finally, are the next steps. We think that's important now as we're moving into a new calendar year in 2011. That the board seek to define for us the next steps that we're going to complete in the coming year. It's been a tremendous pleasure that I've worked with these folks over the last 6 months. You couldn't have assembled a better group. And we're really ready for the next challenges. We'd like to make sure that we have access to resources and information we need to accomplish whatever work we have for us. And we try to maintain that commitment that we're going to try to do the best for the district, for the students, for the community. Because we do realize that we're all in this together. This is a tremendous group, and that we don't necessarily see eye to eye on all matters. But everyone's discipline in approaching the information that we're tasked to review, their ability to listen to each other, to comment constructively, and to try to seek appropriate solutions have just been phenomenal. They couldn't ask for a better group. So with that, I think I will certainly left any questions you may have.
Does the committee itself have any ideas on how to go about prioritizing? I mean, there's a lot of areas that they identified for evaluation.
Is there a way to rank those? I mean, have you guys considered, when you looked at that list of items, kind of your ranking of importance on those?
Yeah.
I mean, that was
no,
my, that was
exactly
my thought
it.
As
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my answer, and then if anyone in the group wants to jump in, I would encourage them to actually see the microphone at that point.
Wow.
Personally, I think the interesting thing for us is to realize that we've kind of tackled all of the low-hanging fruit over the last couple of years. In terms of where we're going to find the gains and go forward, we get back to pie charts. They're big percentages of expenditure, they're small percentages of expenditure, and so I may as well say, looking at wages, salaries, those types of things, they have to be top of mind. In terms of trying to target a number or anything else, we're not there yet. I would not indicate that we've got any number that we could share with the city. But I think that's something that's very much on our minds right now. Anything that we could turn into a profit center, great. We're up for that. But I think probably expense control right now is what we're thinking about. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, sort of. I guess, okay. Do you see that as something the finance committee can do to help prioritize, or is that something that you're thinking the board would want to do the board? Because if you guys are getting into the details, you took a certain amount of look at these different areas. Is that something that as a committee you can get together and say, here's how we'd like to break up the work, here's how we'd like to prioritize the work, maybe break up the subcommittees? I mean, have you guys talked at all about any of that?
We haven't formally discussed that, although it's been indicated as we were assembling notes for the presentation and such. I'm very enthusiastic to hear those ideas and suggestions from you. I think part of this is the prioritization, in my mind, somewhat needs to come to the board in terms of this is on our radar, and we would like to see you look into these things. At the same time, yeah, we've left that around that field. I would suggest that probably as we start making the meeting here in January, it would be great to have you and Jeff back in the meeting with us just to kind of discuss those things.
I agree. Well, we're going to have to retool that committee a little bit anyway, since
okay.
a couple of, you lost a couple of seats on there.
Yes, we did.
But also, I find it would be difficult for you to move too far forward without some kind of standards committee up and running, working either in conjunction or alongside anyways.
Absolutely.
I mean, because now you're hitting into the you know, into the deep meat, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that are going to take community input if we're going to start.
I think we always looked at that, though, as the finance committee's not really. I mean, they're focused. There needs to be numbers behind some of those things and the feasibility.
Right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, but there needs to be an interaction between the two when they're working out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to wait too long before we get that group back up and running again. I would like to get that ball rolling sooner rather than later. So.
And just another thought, and, you know, definitely other people from the committee feel free to chime in, but if you get this huge body of, I mean, digging into those areas could be a considerable amount of work.
Right.
And, you know, initially when we set up this committee, we talked about having 12 people on it, but if, you know, we've been talking about the idea of subcommittees for a long time.
No, conquer and divide, I agree.
Yeah, and so if we can, if they need more bodies, it's something we can work on is getting additional people involved.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So. No, I think that would be the focus when we sit down.
Okay.
I mean, we at least as a board ought to take some time to consider these recommendations. Probably have a discussion, our organizational meeting, probably in January, and just kind of so you and I have a better focus when we sit down with those folks whenever we schedule that next finance committee meeting.
I agree. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I believe our next step, we were actually thinking that the board can tell us where you want us to go from here. Do you want smaller groups? Do you want the standards committee to evaluate state laws and regulations? And then we can go into those individual areas per slide that Monty had shown everyone and kind of see where we can find anything to recommend at that point. But right now we were just going into the areas to see, this is where we see evaluations can be made at this point. As of getting into the numbers specifically, we didn't get all.
Right. Those are some really creative ideas. I don't know how long it took me to pull all that together, but yeah.
And also, I know we asked, you had requested a staffing audit. What's the word on that?
It was supposed to be tomorrow, but the area coordinator is not able to do it tomorrow, and she is retiring, so we have to reschedule it with
what?
The other area coordinator, so it'll probably be sometime next month.
Okay, and that'll be all right. That'll still fit into her. How long does it take to get time?
Usually a couple days.
And then she's ready for her report the next time? Fair enough. All right, good enough. Was there any other questions? Anybody out here want to ask any questions? Sure.
Jeff, I guess.
Oh, yes, sir.
One is when you speak of prioritizing or ranking and saying you want the board's help on this here, we're speaking the board, right?
Correct.
Not just
no,
you
it's
two.
The board. That's why I want to have that discussion in our organizational meeting and kind of rank those and talk about those. And so that Doug and I have some direction when we go to the finance committee.
Right.
And you know, so we're speaking for the board as a whole.
The only comment I have, and it was, this is a comment that was difficult for the auditors to take a look at, and that's the peer groups. You know, who are you comparing to?
It's one thing to compare yourself in one way to the other school districts in that comparison group. But when you're comparing numbers, like salaries, benefits, those kinds of things, you almost got to look at your region. And I guess my caution as we go into this year, we could go to a 5-period day, and we could go to 180 school days, and we could go spend 900 hours in session a year, but that's the state minimum. We're now at 1,300 hours. That's our day, and that's how much time we spend. So how you figure out what you want really is going to...
Well, that's not going to come from this group.
Correct.
That's going to come from...
That has to come from the community.
Absolutely.
And so that's, you know, you're going to have to compare. You're going to have to be in the marketplace. You just are. You know, I don't care what that is. You know, whether that's course offerings or salaries or whatever, it's market driven. Because if you don't have it, and that's what folks want, you know, you're going to have to take a look at those. So it's the next step is really a deeper step into what it is that we're all about.
I think it'd be hard to prioritize or even pick areas of focus if we don't know what dollars are associated with those areas. I mean, a good example is that buyout analysis that was done. I mean, there were several options put in there, and, you know, there's always a, I mean, when you look at those things, you're always looking at a cost-benefit, right? So it's not just, you know, this is, the district wants this, but we got to understand what the cost of that is and how that weighs with other things. So you got to have both components, and I think that's why we set up a finance committee and a standards committee. So each can kind of assess those things independently, and then together we can make a decision. So.
Yeah,
I guess my point is, it's going to be very hard to go ahead and say, let's go ahead and pick. Anyways, we can talk about this.
There's a lot to think about
right.
In that presentation. So, are there any other comments or questions? I want to thank you guys again, really. I mean, you did an incredible amount of work for this district, so we very much appreciate it, and I know we'll be working a great deal coming up in the next year. So,
what is your next meeting? You haven't scheduled yet.
It's not scheduled.
No,
I decide what we're going to do, and then we'll schedule a meeting.
That's really contingent on us, then, isn't it? All right, fair enough. Okay, thank you again. All right, next up, did you have a High Point report for us this month?
Just a real brief one.
Okay.
At our last meeting, they had Donna Atkinson. I don't know if anybody knows her, familiar with her, but she, I guess, got the Master Teacher's certification or award or whatever you call it, distinction. And she offered up her portfolio to our district for anybody who's interested in looking at it. I guess she said it was very helpful to look at other people's portfolios. I don't know if that means anything to anybody here.
Okay.
No.
I don't. Does mean? I mean, I'm sure it means something.
Okay.
Right. Yes. We certainly appreciate the offer, and I'm
sure I'll forward that on anyway.
Please do.
And then the other thing that was mentioned in our meeting is, I guess, Kim Davison, that somebody that Kasich is asking for a list of unfunded mandates. I guess so that from the superintendents, so that because they're looking at that as low-hanging fruit for cutting budgets.
I'm sure.
So, I don't know.
We're developing the list.
Okay.
I'll be anxious to see that when you're done.
Yeah. That And then there's an all-boards banquet on Wednesday, January 12th. I guess we're supposed to get invitations for that.
I sent those out to you.
Did you?
Actually, okay.
I've been out of town, so the thought of my inbox.
I've done it a couple of times, actually. Reminded. So I'll do it again.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah.
6 p.m., January 12th.
Yeah.
That was it.
All right, cool. All right, now for our new legislative report from our eye in the sky.
Nothing's going on right now. But, the swearing in at the House is supposed to take place on January 3rd. Most likely the second week of January, they'll do, possibly they'll do the votes on the House floor as to the Speaker in those sorts of positions. And they'll actually probably start sessions the third week of January, which will be the 17th through the 24th. And once they do, it supposedly is going to be fast and furious. And things will be moving very quickly. You would want to be in touch with your trade associations on a continual, regular basis so that you don't miss anything happening. The Representative Batchelder is most likely going to be the new Speaker of the House, and he's proposed to have a lot more sessions, get a lot more work done than has been done. He's also proposing to hold committee meetings in the evening so that the public can participate. And in addition to that, Kasich has been asking for ideas and has been having, I guess he's got a website for people to submit them to. And recently, the Chamber of Commerce has done a big publication for that purpose on redesigning Ohio, which is this big.
Good reading, is it?
I have not yet read it. Somebody at work has, and they said that there are a lot of good ideas in it.
But a lot of it has been, I guess they're addressing issues that he has raised, and you know, the unfunded mandates and trying to get rid of things that cost and maybe aren't effective anymore. Maybe at one time they worked, but they don't work anymore, but they're still being funded, those kind of things. And then we recently had an email from the OSBA requesting ideas on collective bargaining. But then we also had another email that suggests that they've closed. They've collected. Thank you for your ideas.
That was your two-hour window. Thanks.
I don't know that. I would imagine they'd still collect your ideas if you submitted any. And then there
did you put your ideas in?
I did not. I did not put my ideas in.
I didn't get to it in time either. But I know they covered.
I was surprised to see that. It was just within a couple of days.
Yeah.
So no, I did not put any ideas in. Nor did they submit the ideas which, you know, had been submitted to them. So it'll be interesting to see. And a lot of people apparently have been suggesting different ideas for different things. And I have heard that Thomas Fordham, I have heard speculation that they have some big report, and there's been rumors that they did that specifically for Kasich. Now, whether that will have any bearing on what he ends up doing with school districts, I don't know. That could just be rumors. And then there are a couple events coming up. If anyone's interested, they're free for the inauguration events. They're having a family day at the State House, the Ohio State House, on Saturday, January 8th from 1 to 4. It's free and open to the public. And then they're having, on the same day, an Ohio Young Leaders event for 40 and under only.
Oh, good thing I'll just make that.
And that's at the Ohio.
Yeah, I'll drive you down.
So that's at the Ohio Union at the Ohio State University. And that's from 8 to 11 p.m. on January 8th.
Hey, you talked about the house starting up, hitting the ground running, I suppose, for lack of a better word. Any idea what their main focus is going to be when they get back into session?
Budget.
Well, but I mean, the budget has to come from the governor first, right? Is there any other open bills that they're working on that you're aware of that would affect the district?
No. There are none. I don't know which, you know, any that will be resubmitted. Was 128, I think. They were the most do-nothing legislature we have ever had. So, there's a lot of pending legislation out there, whether they'll be taken up again. You know, a lot of people lost their seats in the House, so...
There's a lot of things sitting in committee and everything else.
Yes, there was a lot of stuff sitting in committee. So whether it'll just die because the sponsors were not reelected and maybe people aren't so inclined, I don't know. I guess just have to wait to see if anything gets resurrected.
Well, it should be exciting.
It will be. Kinsey says it will be.
Okay. All right, was that it?
That's it.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to open it up to public participation. If anybody would like to address the board, that doesn't have to do with documentary movies. If you have any other topic you'd like to talk about, this is your time. Okay. If not, then I'm going to move on. Next up, since I know all of you read our minutes from our last meeting, if there are no changes, additions, deletions, I need a motion to accept those, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freidberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. The treasurer's report. Always exciting.
Oh, always exciting. I'm sorry that I didn't get you out my monthly minutes this time, but the typing is about as hard for me to do right now is writing, so I'll just give you a few brief items from information we sent out. Our foundation is based right there, basically right what we thought it was on the SM2. It's showing that we're getting about what we had. It's up a little bit, but that we received a little bit more from last year's makeup from what they took out and didn't give us all of our funding from last year, so we got a little bit more in November for that.
Our salaries are up due to the estimates just coming in a little differently than what we put in as a monthly estimate. Our purchase services, if you look at that, we're down quite a bit there, and that's mostly from our utilities not coming in. When I set up the estimates, I just took out from September on and just split it out by the months and looked at previous year, looking at utility costs and all, and November was a higher month last year than what we paid this year, so that's why those are different. And the intergovernmental area and debt services, if you look at those together, they're right there together. It's just the way that it was put in there, the way that it was actually spent. Overall, our revenue's up, our expenditures are down, so that's good. Our projected balance is up, so that's a good thing. We're asking for two new student activity accounts to be started, vocational enhancement at Creekview, and then the SAC asking for a public school support fund so that they can do some things for their students and staff there. During the January Professional Development Day, we will be going over the new student activity handbook with the staff members. So with that, that's all I have for the month.
Anybody have any questions on the treasurer's report? Did you implement the new time clock this month?
It did not get implemented this month. We're working on it. We're having a few bugs with the company and with the knowledge software and everything. So we're trying to get it there.
It's still beta.
It's still
the
testing. It's still in the testing.
Okay.
Right. We're working on it.
Time clocks?
The thumbprint.
Thumbprint.
And that's for
everyone.
Classified staff.
Classified.
No. Classified and our certified substitutes.
All right, there's no
purpose.
Yeah. What was the purpose of this thing?
The time class?
Yeah, that we split it. We do some people and we don't do the other people.
Because your certified staff are on contracts. They aren't based on hourly. So we don't have to do a timesheet form. The other ones are on timesheets right now. And
on paper timesheets. Right?
On paper timesheets, yeah.
So that'll replace the timesheet.
Yeah,
it's to become more efficient on and eliminate paper, especially.
So, what kind of cost savings we have by doing this?
It'll probably pay for itself within the first month.
First month.
I imagine it's easier to track overtime and everything else.
Yes, we'll be tracking overtime by a lot.
Any questions on that?
Oh, I do, but not now.
All right. If not, then I move we accept the treasurer's report, items A through D.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabin.
Yes.
Mr. Freidberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Greer. Yes. Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Next up is item 8.
Item 8 is an approval to move forward to finalize a lease agreement for East Elementary. It's my recommendation that the district administration move forward with the intent to lease East to the Marysville Area Ministerial Association for the purpose of opening the Hope Center. A final lease agreement will be proposed at a later date for your approval. What we need right now, and Gene is here to speak to it in case anybody has any questions, but they need an intent from us to lease the building. We'll finalize the lease agreement as we go along, but at this point, what they need for funding purposes and to get secure tenants and all those kinds of things, they just need an intent from us to move forward. So,
thank you. Good to see you guys again.
So is this going to take the place of like a letter of intent? Or this will just be their letter
this,
of intent?
This will be our letter of intent to them so that they can then secure what they need to secure, go out, get some funding, work on grants, work on tenants, firm that up. And then their letter of intent back to us basically will be the lease agreement.
So you can't move forward without us telling you we're committed to
that. That's the point.
There's nothing been officially recorded as far as from the school board or any action taken by the school board on moving forward with the Hope Center. We're ready to start the capital campaign with the Hope Center and move forward with that. The kickoff for that is scheduled for January 15th. For us to really be able to do that and to go to the different ministry entities that are involved and really have firm commitments, we really need to have something more formal in that. We've already submitted an official letter of intent from the Ministerial Association in request of this, and we understand the lease agreement stuff is not yet the details of that haven't been all worked out. We're just looking for something formal from the board saying yes, we're prepared to move forward contingent upon an agreeable lease document.
So has anything changed from the original proposal to us as far as the usage of that building?
The usage itself, no. The sheet that I just handed out to you is an update just kind of where things are at, and also to just give a kind of a financial review of where we're currently at with the Hope Center. We have already proposed a change of use for the building through the BZA, and that approved unanimous with them, and they were extremely supportive of that. We've been working with the city zoning and planning in working through some of the parking details and some of those issues, and it looks like those are resolved. The next step is obviously submitting the drawings to Mary Sampson with the Union County Building building inspections and to go through that process of finding out exactly what is going to be entailed with being able to gain full occupancy of the building or partial occupancy as it's available, or what she allows us to do depending on what is required. Because the building's been empty for more than 2 years, it has to be brought up to code, and so those are the things that we're working with Mary on to try to address those issues.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions on that?
The access drive coming off of 6th Street. So would that be parking also back there? Because that's a park, right?
There is a park there. And what we're looking at doing is actually not adding any additional asphalt to the property, but other than the access drive to get back to it. But there's a open area that was at once the playground area,
right.
And restriping that and utilizing. The city's going to require if the building reopens for anything, and I don't know the requirements for the school, but for anything else, 90-plus parking spaces. There's currently 41. Just with being able to restripe that back area, it gets us, I think, at like 90, and I think it'd get a variance on the rest of it. So that does open up that door. Now, we're currently looking, and we've been working with the school administration on where that access drive is and to keep it as close to the building so that we don't interrupt the open area, and the playgrounds and everything stay as they are and would remain a park with that being. Obviously, we want to see that as well.
Anybody else? Can I make any comments on that?
We've been working along, and we're at a point where they need an order for Mary Samsel to make some decisions on the building and for Gene and some of the other churches, their commitment, their financial commitment to the idea. They need a commitment from us.
With anticipation of hopefully having some type of presence or being able to work, and this is all contingent upon Mary, of course, but with Easter in mind, of being a kind of a grand opening of at least some type of occupancy in the building and so forth. Again, there's a lot of things. It's going to take a lot of prayer and miracles for that to happen, but that's kind of our goal at this point, if we can get everything pulled together, which means obviously a lot of other things have to get moving pretty rapidly to make it. The need is there, with all the different area minister, the compassion ministries that are in the community, some of them losing their facilities, some of them needing more facilities because of increased need and those things. The sooner that it is available, obviously the youth center being a big part of this is another huge concern. The sooner we can get those things up and running, I believe we'll see the benefit in both for the school system and also for the community as well.
Great.
I move that we move forward with it.
Second. Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Hardenberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Any modifications to the buildings that would be necessary, that will all be married into a lease agreement. You'll see that back before we go back over. Right. Thanks, dude.
Well, good luck with your capital raising.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Marysville Public Library.
Public Library appointments. Ryan is here somewhere.
Even more name tag.
We've received a letter from the Public Library Board of Trustees recommending two appointments. Since this is by revised code, a school district library, those appointments have to be approved by us. So, Ryan, you want to start?
Good evening. We will soon have two vacancies on the Marysville Public Library Board of Trustees. We submitted a letter to that regard to you. We opened the positions earlier this year and received a number of qualified candidates. So, Marysville Public Library Board of Trustees met with those candidates and reviewed them and has two recommendations to the board. The first recommendation is for a motion was made to recommend that the Marysville Exempt Bill School District Board of Education appoint Maria DiMatteo to finish the remainder of Zachary Eichhoff's term on the Marysville Public Library Board of Trustees to begin effective immediately and expire December 31st, 2014. That particular recommendation is to finish the remainder of Zachary Eichhoff's term, who had to leave the community due to his employment change. So it will be to finish the remainder of one person's term. The next recommendation, the Marysville Public Library Board of Trustees recommend that the Marysville Exempt Village School District Board of Education reappoint Rebecca Weaver to a 7-year term on the Marysville Public Library Board of Trustees to begin January 1st, 2011. She is currently finishing the last year of another board member's term, so her term would expire at the end of this year, and the board is hoping that we will reappoint her to a 7-year term beginning January 1st. I did submit on behalf of the library's board some of the qualifications of the two candidates. I think you'd be very pleased with them. They actually are both educators. One of them is an employee of the school system, to let you know. But both of them are educators, active in our community, been active in the library, and hopefully will be two great additions that will help further the partnership with the schools that we have.
Anybody have any questions for Ryan? If not, then I move we accept the library appointees as submitted. Move in second. Yeah.
You see that?
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Hardenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Raker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. You can go if you want. Can't imagine one. All right, next up on the agenda is the discussion of documentary videos in district classrooms. The suggestion was made that maybe there needs to be an addition to our movie policy to cover documentaries. And so really, I'm going to kind of open that up to discussion.
I mean, I think I made the suggestion, and the suggestion was based on the fact that there's a movie, the corporation that we know is being shown in our schools, and I know that a significant number of people in the community would be outraged to know that their kids are being watching that movie. It's an evil movie. It was, it's not. Let me set this straight, because I saw through some emails with us that somehow the teacher is showing that thinks that the perception is that we think he's indoctrinating, or that somehow he backs the message in that movie, and that was never communicated by anybody on this board that we felt that teacher was using it for the purposes that movie was made. That movie was made to indoctrinate. That movie was made to break down the fiber of this country. It was made to it's anti-American movie, anti-private property, anti-capitalist. It's a bad movie. Now, maybe we're using it in the, actually, from everything you've shown, it seems like the intent is to use it in a constructive way. But the point is, there's going to be a lot of parents out there that are extremely outraged to know that that kind of material is being put in front of their kids without them knowing about it. And I think that if that's the... That flew under the radar, and I think that if it was through the movie policy, there would have been some visibility to it. And I think that's the point. The point of the movie policy is to provide transparency to what's going on in the classroom, and that's why I made the suggestion.
Sure. Well, there is part of the policy that covers documentaries.
There is. Where? I'm not saying there isn't.
Under caution, it doesn't specifically say documentaries. I believe it says unrated movies. Or it says caution right there. See where it says caution?
Okay.
It's in that paragraph there. But I guess I would ask, you know, before we start clamping down on that policy, I would ask, you know, if the teacher did what he was supposed to be doing, is there an assumption that every other teacher wouldn't be doing that?
I'm missing.
Well, I mean, why do we need to crank that policy down further if in fact our teachers are doing, they're following the policy that policies, there's multiple policies that apply there that we've asked them to do. Understand? Is that?
I guess, again, I'm not saying that it has to be part of it. I'm just saying that how did this movie get in front of, I just don't think this movie belongs in the schools. And the fact that it is there, and the fact that it's being shown to kids for who knows how long without most parents even knowing that, seems to be an issue. I mean, I would think it's a pretty big issue. And I don't know, and again, I want to go back to the request that I made to know what the other documentaries were. That was just to know, are there any of these other ones that kind of slid under the radar that are in our schools? I didn't make that request because I was on a witch hunt, which seemed to be the impression that I got from an email that you sent out, Jeff, saying that the teachers think that I'm asking for those documentaries because I think there's indoctrination in that we're using documentaries to indoctrinate our kids. That was never anything I ever said. So I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit upset that they called all the teachers together and came out and said, there's a board member attacking you, or whatever was communicated. That was the impression that was given.
Well, I think.
Sure.
I don't want to rehash all of it. You know,
sure,
emails,
understood.
But
yeah.
the conversation did come about indoctrination and what movies were being shown. And I think it behooved the superintendent to go and ask that question of his administrators. There's a board member that asked that question. Is this what we're doing? And you did ask that question. And then you backed it up with basically asking that question again.
I'd be more willing to put the email thread out there for people to see, because there was no way that I said these movies are being used to indoctrinate in our schools. I did ask the question, is it happening in our schools? And the reason being is because, Larry, you've indicated that's your responsibility to make sure that's not happening.
Right.
And we do know that it's happening in other schools across this country, right? I mean, we do know that indoctrination does take place. We do know that our enemies are seeking to steal the minds of our, or take the, win over the minds of our kids, right? So, it's a reality. Is it not a reality?
Hold on.
It is a reality.
Okay.
So, you know, are we that naive to think that can't happen here?
No. All I was saying was that question came up, and we asked Larry that, and proposed to Larry,
right.
And Larry took that down to his administrator, who took that down to his staff. And however the staff took it, I would assume, since they're all sitting here in front of me, if I'll, you know, I mean, I can guess. I'm not that great a judge, but I didn't start that. That went through your investigation and downward. How that comes back to how it comes back to this movie policy is what more I'm concerned with, because this is how we govern our district.
Well, I have two concerns there.
Okay, so
one concern is that it's legitimate for a board member to sit there and see a movie like this, and that is very concerning, and I believe the community would be concerned by it,
sure.
And to ask for more information, okay? And, you know, we've been down this path before where I've asked for information, and if I don't share why, you tell me I have to go through a public information request. So in this case, I said, all right, I want a list of documentaries, and in the context of this discussion,
okay.
All right. If when that happens, this automatically turns into an issue that started off as a concern for kids and parents in the community, and all of a sudden turns into an attack on all teachers, and if we end up with this huge room full of teachers, that's not an effective way for a board member to do his job.
Right. I mean, you are within your. You can ask whatever question you want.
But does it always turn into this when I ask a question that somehow?
I don't know. I've been honest. It never has.
Well, I'd like to understand what needs to happen to prevent, I mean, to allow me to dig into these issues, or to ask for more information. I mean, where's that breakdown? How are we getting from there to here? How are we getting from a point where we're concerned about kids and concerned about the community to a point where now all of a sudden it's a huge issue where the teachers feel threatened somehow? What got us from there to here?
I'll pass that on to you.
What I was asked was, are there any staff members indoctrinating kids?
Right.
That's what I was asked. The only way I know how to ask that is to ask my administrators. Folks, is this occurring? Their response back to me, not that I'm aware of. And I said, let's find out. We need to know at this level, because this is a pretty serious accusation.
Well,
therefore, we need to take it. I need to know. So, because I need to report that.
Right.
I don't, and as I've said to you before, I don't ever believe that any of those kinds of things occur in the staff.
Right.
I believe that to this day, and I believe it. You can bury me wherever you want to bury me, and I'll believe it till the day. I trust the staff, and I trust what they put in front of kids. As I told you before, you know, I saw this documentary when it first came out, right after. And then, I see the intent differently. I see the intent as a way to communicate.
Sorry, the movie or
the documentary.
Okay.
I saw the documentary in its full back years ago.
Okay.
And as I saw it, it was an intent to just say, hey, folks, be aware of what's going on. I've seen similar type things about the chicken industry, about the meat industry, documentaries on 60 Minutes that makes you really wonder why you're eating chicken, to be very honest. It doesn't mean all the chicken farmers are bad. It means you have to pay attention. And that's how I saw the documentary titled The Corporation. I saw it referenced during the Wall Street and the banking industry epics, scandals, all the kinds of things that were going on a couple of years ago. That documentary was referenced as, you know, here are some things just to point out. It doesn't mean all the banking officials were bad. It doesn't mean all Wall Street was bad. But it does mean, as Americans, we need to pay attention, because we're built on corporations. We're built on the capitalism system. But there's an underbelly to capitalism also, especially when you throw bad ethics and some bad decisions and people wanting bottom line decisions at all cost. And that's how I saw it. And I think that's how our folks used it. Now, I've shared that with some folks that I know that are really good, what I call people I go to if I want to check the oil. And folks that have lived in this community much longer than I have, several generations of their families have lived here, and their response back to me was, I don't, you know, that probably meets a community standard, that if it's used properly, if it's used as a balanced way to instruct, there's an awful lot of positive things, that thought-provoking type aspects of that kids need to be aware of, that need to be discussed before they ever graduate from high school. So that's how I see it. That's how I'm a social studies teacher. I would have used it. I would have.
You know, Larry, I understand that somebody could view that movie that way, but it doesn't take a whole lot of research to know that that is not the intent of that movie. that movie is not intended to just open your mind to that.
But you can use it that way. But Doug, you know, you might
use it that way. But I'm just saying that why would we? And we got several different debates going on here. I mean, one is being this whether or not this movie exists in our classroom. And I don't know. Maybe this isn't the right time to have that debate. But I think that there is the fact that its intentions are evil. The fact that George Soros and all the people who funded this thing, they put a lot of money into this thing to indoctrinate our kids. That they're, I mean, it's not hard. It's not hard to see what their intent is. Just go out there and look. So they put money into it. They're very successful at it. If you want to know what the impact is on kids, go look at all the places that they show it in Canada and what the kids have to say about it, what they take away from that movie. It's not just, all you do is Google it. You'll see it. It's an anti-capitalist movie. It's an anti-American movie. It's not, it has no place in our classroom. And if we may be shown for the right reasons, but the side benefit is that these kids are getting that indoctrination.
I must be Googling it in a different site than what you are.
I'm just saying, how many people here have seen that movie? I'm curious. Okay, so, you know, not even, it's not a very, I mean, a small number of people have seen that movie. So I would encourage people to go see the movie.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I would too. Because, again, I see it very different. I mean, I could.
And I respect that. I really do respect that.
I can defend how we use it. Because these folks are who we are. And we have to trust their judgments. We do. I mean, I trust them. And hopefully they trust us. That we allow them to make decisions about kids on an everyday basis. They are who we are. They absolutely are. They live and breathe our kids. They see our kids every day. I mean, I can make decisions all day long and not be as effective as what they are because they're seeing the kids. I trust them. If I disagree with them, they'll know about it. If they disagree with me, I know about it. We have that type of relationship. But I don't believe that we need any more provisions in our regulations than what's there.
And that's the other issue. Okay, so now we have this movie that, you know, obviously, I know you care about the kids, and I know you would never put indoctrination from it if you thought it was indoctrination. I obviously feel that movie, I mean, how more to express it, there is no doubt in my mind that that's the intent of that movie. So we're on opposite ends of the table. Obviously, we see that movie differently. So you've got to imagine that same divide exists in the community. So the point is that if that movie is being shown to kids, the parents don't know it's being shown to kids, and a parent who happens to be on this side of the table finds out about it, they're going to be outraged about it. That's an issue we that needs to be addressed, and I think the movie policy is the proper place for it.
But don't all of our board policies and every other policy, as well as that movie policy, cover this? That these teachers can't get up there and show that movie and not have a balanced discussion about what's in it. And it's not just that movie. I mean, let's just take that movie out of it. The debate is more about, you know.
But it is that movie.
No, what if it's Bowling for Columbine? I mean, we can talk about Bowling for Columbine. Same movie, right? I mean, we can move that discussion to one of 100 movies. That's not what it's about. It's about, you know, what we want to shoe or what materials that can be used in the classroom and what can't be, and what you're saying is what needs parental approval and what doesn't, right? I mean, that's really what this debate is about.
Yeah, that is what I'm talking about, right?
Okay.
So the point is that you're saying if we don't have parental approval, that this movie, because the judgment of,
yeah, the judgment of the professionals. I'm the same as if I would trust my doctor to do eye surgery because he's trained to do eye surgery. Yeah, I don't think they're
still educating our kids. So they may see the educational benefit of that movie, but they're not necessarily. They don't sit there and study who our enemies are. They don't.
Require them to talk about both sides of the topic when it's in our board policy. In fact, it's in the contract that the MEA signed with us. They have to do it. I mean, unless I'm missing something, I've got a list of 6 different board policies and contract articles that back that particular statement up.
back what statement?
That I just said, that we require our educators to have balanced discussion, to keep their opinion out of it, to
right.
You know what I mean? To
right.
Talk about
no
controversial
one, no
issues.
No one-sided
exactly.
Kind
I understand
of presentation.
That, and I agree with that.
But
I
you're,
understand
but
that
you're
that
saying,
exists.
And you're, but you're even saying, Doug, that Larry sees the movie one way and you see it another way, so therefore that's two sides. And it's not like it's just one side coming at it. So it is a healthy discussion. And for the children to have that healthy discussion about that movie that's out there and the way corporations and ethics are sometimes handled and what they can mean, you should have that and then discuss that in the classroom on whether that is, you know, beneficial and how you should go about being against that or for that or whatever it might be. That's, I mean, without that kind of discussion, then...
Have you seen the movie, John?
Yeah, I did. I took some notes on it.
Okay. <You know? laughs>
I mean, seriously, I did. I watched it. It's 2 hours and 44 minutes long. I mean, I sat there and I watched it and I watched it and I watched it and I'm looking for socialism, I'm looking for communism, I'm looking for all this.
You didn't see that?
And... No, I didn't. All I
so you
I
don't equate anti-private property as being anti-American or
I didn't see
social,
anyone
socialism, communism.
Yeah, I do see that, but I didn't hear them say that in the movie.
Okay.
I didn't hear that. It's about corporate ethics. They're talking about ownership and responsibility, and they're talking about, you know, a lot about patents and a lot about different parts and pieces of the corporation and some of the less than ideal things that have occurred.
What were the things about monsters?
It said that... Well, the premise is that a corporation as an individual is a psychopath and we're going to check it all off and that...
Right, lies, deceit, callous, etc.
But if you work for a corporation, you're a monster.
No, if you work for a corporation that supports tyranny, you may be a great person at home, but if you work for a corporation that supports the tyranny or stuff like that, then yeah...
Or if you work for a corporation,
and you know,
cars, right?
And
that's in there as well, right? If you work,
that's
for
not what that quote that she said.
Well, no, I understand. But if you work for a corporation that makes cars, now you're leading to the destruction of the planet. And so, I mean, as the one guy said, you might as well put a gun to my head or something like. It's just,
well, okay. Oh, you know what? That's a great topic for you to have. You know, if do you believe that?
No,
Johnny Student, do you believe that? I mean, does that make sense to you? Does that concept make sense? I mean, I'm not a teacher, and I'm not trying to. But I'm saying that's a. To me, that's.
I understand the value in having those balanced discussions. I just think that you don't go to a movie that somebody spent a ton of money on to indoctrinate people with, and to tear down America. That's what that movie's for. That movie is intent. It's anti-American, and.
I don't see it that way, Doug.
Okay, that's fine. I understand.
You know, I see it. I saw the movie and I watched it.
But my point is, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of parents out there that see it my way, and and I think they should know that their kids are going to see that movie in that class.
And there's a lot of parents out there that see it my way also, and that is that there's a dark side to corporate America, and the laws are set up to allow them to get by with certain things, and if you don't keep those things in check, then, you know, it can run amok, and they show some of that stuff, some of the ethics that have run amok. You know, the Bhopal Indias, you know, terrible things, just for greed, and the greed flaw that they call it, that's in there. You know, you're trying to make a buck, and, you know, damn anybody that gets in your way.
What we're saying is that if it's the professional teacher says that movie is good for healthy discussion, it doesn't matter if the parent does not want that his kid subjected to that, the kid's going to be subjected to that movie. They're going to have to watch it because they don't even know it's being shown.
I'm going to say if it supports part of the curriculum that they're trying to teach and they've been able to work their discussion and lesson plan around it, then yeah, I'm going to leave it up to the educators to do their job.
And the benefit of doing that is we don't want to put that on a movie list, or we don't want to have to. I mean,
It's on a movie list, though.
Well,
Doug, it talks about a balance. It says, you know,
define for me ahead of time. Define for me what that list is or isn't. you talked about in a response to me anything that's controversial.
Right.
What is that?
Well, I mean, does everybody here agree that it's a controversial movie?
Well, but Bambi's controversial.
Well, that's what's that?
Bambi's controversial. Harry Potter's controversial.
I think.
I mean, I don't know. If you could define for me ahead of time what that is or isn't, you know,
at one point you're saying that I should trust that the teachers have good judgment, and at another point you're saying that they can't distinguish between this movie and Bambi.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
No, he's saying there's a controversy.
I'm saying
everybody agrees that this is a controversial movie.
No,
but you're throwing Bambi
into it. I think it's a movie that brings out some controversial issues. But I'm telling you, you know, there are a lot of documentaries, there are a lot of discussions out there that are controversial. Sex education is controversial.
But there's permission slips for that, isn't there, not?
Well, it depends on what level you're in.
And it's determined.
I'd
like to hear from you two, if we could.
Yeah. I didn't watch the entire movie. I did watch some clips of it, but I think, you know, what I'm hearing is from Doug's side, and he's right in his feelings and his belief and what he sees. You know, we're showing the movie, yet what movie, on the other hand, are we showing that shows the opposite of that, you know? And here we are having this discussion about what the movie says or doesn't say, and hopefully that's what the teacher in the classroom is generating, is discussions between the students, such as this. But the teacher, hopefully, is not taking sides or saying, yes, you're right, and teaming up with one or the other. Hopefully, they can take a neutral stand in it. The other thing is there's a lot of controversial things. I don't agree with some of the ways of religion is being taught or not taught, or the way politics are being taught or not taught. But we have to rely upon our teachers, and hopefully they take that neutral stand and they don't take one side or the other side. I don't agree with the movie myself. I don't agree with it. But I'm just saying, it has to be up to that teacher, that administrator. Now, here's where it's going to hurt. I put the fault back onto our administrators for not monitoring what's going on, if they're not monitoring that.
Well, everybody's here saying it's an okay movie to show, so they're obviously, I mean, there's no issue with it. I mean, that's the point. The point is that the determination of people, the teachers and administrators, is that it's an okay movie to show to your kids. And George Soros, Michael Moore, and all the anti-American organizations that produced it are saying, victory. That's great. We got it in front of more kids.
I had a conversation with an individual that I used to be my manager. His wife is a school teacher in the Columbus schools, has been for 35 years. This is her 35th year. His comment to me was, this movie has no place in the schools. He said, my wife would say differently because she's a school teacher, but I, as a business individual, manager of a company, at a company, says no place for it at all. Controversy. Which way do you go? I have to lean upon our teachers to be the ones who generate a discussion that brings out these issues like we're doing up here as adults with our children. They have to understand what the real world is like. Not to say this is the right or this is the wrong, but to say this is what you're going to face out there in the real world. Just be prepared. Now, whether we need to change our policies, I think our policy, we spent a lot of time on doing what we've done here.
I'm going to give Tracy a second then. She's been quiet down there, so I'm gonna see where she's at on that.
But while I did not agree with much of anything in the film, I was coming at it from what I do for a living, which is corporate law for the past 20 years. So what I saw them saying is corporations, yes, it does happen, but not on the level that I believe the movie portrays. And it did create a lot of healthy discussion between my daughter and I. I found probably more disturbing is what I found was on the website. I tried capitalism, and I don't like it. Show this to your kids over and over and over again until the world is safe. I mean, that was the message that the website was putting forth for education, for showing it in your schools. So while I completely disagree with most of what was in the movie, it did open up a lot of conversation between my daughter and I, who questioned a lot of what she saw in the movie.
I'm gonna take a break from our debate and open it up for everybody to take a couple breaths, open it up. I got a couple people that want to speak. Mr. Brandfast? Please, sir.
Hi. My name's Kevin Brandfast. I'm the Social Studies Department Chair. And came to the board meeting tonight. I was concerned about the direction things were going. Just to let you know that we teach according to the standards set by the state of Ohio. And part of those standards is for our students to become critical thinkers. And they do this by analyzing multiple perspectives. Mr. Lasseter, you made accusations about teachers in our district trying to indoctrinate our students. Are they guilty of socialism, communism, or anti-American propaganda? All right. This is not 1950. All right. As a history teacher, you know, I'm thinking this borderlines McCarthyism. All right. You have to trust our department. You have to trust our teachers. All right. We do not do that. We do not indoctrinate our kids. Have you talked to people in the community about our department? Have you talked about other board members and asked them about their children who have come through our department? Have they been indoctrinated? Have you talked to other prominent people in Marysville? Mayor Schmeck, people on our council, John Gore, Devery Grote, Ben Wilmoth is a kid that comes to my mind who worked for President Bush, and he was worked for his chief of staff. Other members, distinguished graduates that have gone through our program, have they been indoctrinated this way? I think not. We take this accusation seriously.
Can I stop? Okay. Accusation. Where is the accusation? What makes you think I accused you of indoctrination?
I mean, because that's
what I'm trying to understand where that got. Because I understand how I asked a question of Larry saying, is it happening in our schools? He says, no, it's not. And I said, are you sure? And then later on in the discussion, as we're talking about this movie, I then say, hey, can you...
Okay.
What's the list of documentary movies?
Is
but
that happening?
I don't see the accusation.
Okay, maybe accusation is not the right word, but you asked the question: is this happening in our schools? I'm sorry.
Why?
Can you sit there and really think that is happening in our school system?
Can you not ask that question?
No, you can ask.
Trying to shut down the speech.
No. You know. I'm not.
It was
a serious concern.
Sure.
And you know, you've requested things from our department in the past.
Right.
We've done it. We have abided by the movie guidelines. We've submitted them. They've been approved, and we've been sticklers ever since on the movie guidelines. I don't know what more you want. Mr. Zimmerman brings up a good question. You know, at what point can you determine what is a good documentary? What is it? This student thinks this is a controversial issue. This student doesn't think it's a controversial issue. You're opening up a can that would just take many, many hours to address. Our administration has much more concerns to take care of, as does Mr. Zimmerman. And I came here to voice our concern on behalf of the Social Studies Department, on behalf of the teachers in our district, that we are not involved in this. And I'll sit down. I just say I'm proud to be a monarch and proud to be an American. As is everyone in our department.
And I just want, you mentioned the question of that, how did I come to this point? I just want to make sure you understand why I was asking these questions. I have heard in three separate occasions where kids have said they thought communism was great, and they said they learned it in the school. Now, I didn't run away with that and say, hey, Larry, this is what we're producing. All our kids in our district are being indoctrinated by teachers. I not once jumped to that conclusion. That was just a piece of information that I've had for months now. All I did was mention it casually in a board meeting because it came up in the context of the discussion, and I didn't jump to any conclusions. Then I had actual students tell me, use the word indoctrination. And now, granted, it's a student, okay? And I think, okay, well, kids sometimes may jump to conclusions like that. Again, I didn't do anything with that information, all right? I know that there's liberal bias going on in some classes. Again, I didn't do anything with that information. Then this movie pops up, okay? And so then I ask Larry what I think is a very fair question. Is there indoctrination occurring in our schools? Do you believe that? I think it's fair to ask that. I think it's my responsibility. And if I didn't ask that, I would be negligent not to ask that. He says no. And then that discussion stopped. We started talking about other things. And when we got to this corporation movie, that's when I asked, hey, I'd like to know what other documentary movies are being shown in the class. Those are all fair questions from a board member. All right? What concerns me is how, and I'm acting like I don't know how we got from there to here. I do know how we got from there to here. It's the same thing happened when the rated R movie came out. Immediately, we have some concerns about kids. We have some concerns for the sake of the parents and their parent rights. And then within one board meeting, it turns into, you're under attack. Rally the troops. And it's there's a smear machine in Marysville that basically says, okay, we got some accusations coming our way. Let's shut it down. Let's go ahead and intimidate. And if the intimidation doesn't work, let's smear. I've been a victim of that smear machine for 3 years, and I've got documentation to prove it. So I know how it works. And so I understand why we're here. And it has nothing to do with anything I did outside of trying to do my job, and I tried to do it in the most respectful way possible. But it turns into this on purpose. And there's somebody in this room, maybe multiple people, that wanted this to happen. It wasn't me. Anyways.
Okay. Juliet.
Well, first of all, was there ever a formal complaint made on this movie? Do we know?
There? I don't know.
No.
Well, I would have come to you.
Did any parents know that the movie was being shown to have a complaint? Do they? I don't know if that was...
Well, once it was shown, that's what I'm asking. Once it was shown, I know... There was a discussion from Tracy with eventually it finally got to the teacher about it being shown. And I think, you know, there is board policy in place about teaching controversial issues that we have to, you know, cover both sides. We talked about a lot of these things. That we have to be impartial. I mean, it's all right there in policy. And if the teacher's not being impartial and if they're being one-sided, they're breaking board policy. But I think it's been very clear from the conversations that has happened with that teacher on this particular movie that the way he showed it and what he did and the conversation he's had with his responses to the board and to Mr. Zimmerman have covered that. And I do believe it's been accepted by most of the board members that he did what he was supposed to do.
And I agree with that. If you're excluding me from that, most of the board members.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I agree. I think Mr. Evans or Evan Smith.
Please.
Sorry, who's that?
We don't typically like to identify a specific teacher.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all
right.
Okay. Can't unring that bell now.
All right.
Strike that from the record.
I honestly think that his response were right on the money. And I think that his intentions were right. Okay? Again, going back to my issues with the movie itself. All right? So, I just want to make sure. I have to clear that up because...
Nope, that's fine. That's fine. So, but again, I mean, there's all these policies in place. We've got the movie guidelines. We've got academic freedom. We've got, you know, selecting objects or topics that we're going to cover in our classes. And it comes back to let us do our jobs. Trust in us. And if there is a problem with what we've done or what we've shown, then there are steps to take that. And I do agree it's your job to ask some of these harder questions as a board member or even as a community member or as a parent. Absolutely. Ask the question, but ask the teacher. Start with the teacher. That's what the policy says. Teacher and administrators first. And I think that might have taken this down a different road. You still might not like the movie. We can discuss the movie all night long, but that's not why we're here. We need to decide if you're going to let the teachers have the freedom to do their job. We're hired to do this, and when you, when the superintendent has to ask the administrators, are we indoctrinating our kids with this, this, and that? That's shocking to the teachers. That's why there's teachers here, because you're questioning our professionalism when it comes to things like that. There are things in place to check. There's lesson plans to get turned in. There's principals there to see what we're doing every day. So, you know, there's a lot of teachers, yeah, they heard about it. But that's what they need to know. They need to know, are we being backed by our board? Because Larry's backing us. He's very clear on that. We need all of you to believe in what we do.
So at what point did I cross that line of not backing you? Was it when I asked if there was indoctrination happening, or is it when I asked for a list of documentary movies?
No, I would say when you asked, is there a teacher in our district indoctrinating our students?
I didn't ask. I said, is there indoctrination happening within our district?
Is there a teacher in our district indoctrinating our students?
Yeah, but even if he asked that question, is that really so wrong? Even if he asked that question.
Well, I'd say many teachers find it insulting that we would be doing such things.
You weren't classifying all teachers. You said, is there a teacher?
No. It was, is there any teacher in the district?
Any teacher.
Yeah.
He did.
Well, how do you separate the movie from the teacher? I mean, either we're doing it purposely or we're just stupid. I mean, the teacher looks at a movie and goes, I don't know, it's indoctrination, so I'm going to show it? Like, asking if a teacher is showing a movie that you think is propaganda, you either are assuming the teacher knows, or they're too dumb to realize it is.
Okay, and you've seen the movie, have you not?
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't think it's indoctrination?
No, I don't think it's
indoctrination. Okay, and I know that it is, so what can you tell me?
Wait, how do you know that it is?
Because I know.
I watched it, and I don't think it is, so how do you know that it is?
Thomas Friedman is in that movie. Thomas Friedman, who is the capitalist of all capitalists, is in the movie.
Milton Friedman or Tom?
He's in the movie.
Well, I understand that. There's a clip of him in there, but that doesn't...
I think the point is, like, you think it's disagreeable, and we have to draw a middle road with respect to the academic freedom that we have. There are things that people believe that are completely ridiculous, like we're going to teach about the Holocaust even though Holocaust deniers exist, and we're going to, we have to have, there are areas that are obviously clear and we make policies to deal with them. What we're saying now is the policies that are in place deal perfectly well with these types of situations that most people, most professionals in this room, believe is a controversial issue that exists in a gray area that needs a more gentle policy of let a parent complain to a teacher and ask the questions, let the teacher defend their position, which is what the policy currently states. Mm-hmm. And if that isn't enough, then it can go up the chain of command. I think if you start making a list of what we deem controversial, you try to like hone that border into finally, you're going to start to leave a lot of things on the outside and mire us down. And I agree. Parents should know with a reasonable certainty what's being taught in the class. But we can't itemize all things and make sure that parents get to check off everything we do. There's got to be a point in which the parent can work with us in that process to make sure that we're serving their children in a way. And I think if you try to put too fine a point on it, it just makes the policy too cumbersome to deal with the kind of issues that we have to.
And I agree that, you know, we obviously don't want to go to the parents for every... I mean, you don't have to ask for permission for everything you do in the class. And I understand controversial is a kind of a gray area. I understand the suggestion to add it to the board for discussion was not a cut and dry, we need to do this, but it's... This movie slid under the radar, as far as I'm concerned. And it's still there. I mean, the fact that some people still sit in this room and think that it's not... The point is, this movie, to me... slid under our board policy or under our movie policy, okay? And how do we capture that? How do we make sure that the parents are aware that this movie is actually being shown to their kids? And maybe there's no easy solution. Maybe it isn't. Maybe adding it to the movie policy would be way too cumbersome to accomplish. But I think it's a problem that needs to be solved.
I think
obviously, sorry. Not. Oh, that's fine.
I didn't fill out a thing. I'm sorry.
So you're 30 seconds to that, right? All right, well,
I have concerns, and I think
you should have concerns. I understand that part, but obviously there's enough people in this room who don't agree with your position that I think it puts this particular movie and many like it in the category of, this is not something you can itemize in a list. This is something that our policy deals with very effectively. So if a kid sees it and we find out that a movie maybe after further scrutiny isn't something, your daughter saw it and she's not a communist. She's not a communist. I mean, what was that great quote that one of the teachers sent out? The high school, the indication of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. And I thought that was just the most poignant quote to describe all of this. We have to be able to teach our kids to entertain thoughts without accepting them. And that comes from our schools, that comes from our parents sometimes, even though I know I don't want to admit it, ours are still young. But eventually that's going to be the case. I can tell him that the moon is blue and he'll believe me for a while. But to go back to your point of, I don't think, at least I'm not a part of a smear machine. I've never talked to you before.
No,
nobody sent me a letter and I didn't get any coded text messages. When you ask if we're showing propaganda, like I said, you're either saying we don't know we're showing propaganda and we're too stupid to realize it.
But you don't think that's possible? You don't think that's possible that you might show a movie realize what its intentions were?
No. At least not so a kid would understand it besides me.
And if we didn't, I would hope an administrator had already fired you.
What's that?
Does anybody know who sponsored the movie?
I know George Soros.
Who bankrolled the movie? Does anybody know?
It doesn't matter if a good discussion is going on about it.
Right.
Why not? Sculpt America, ACLU, Amnesty for America,
Why are those bad organizations?
MoveOn.org.
All American organizations.
They're all anti-capitalists.
All right, we're not going to turn this into an open free-for-all. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll let Mr. Baird speak and then we're starting to repeat ourselves.
My name's Rich Baird. And when I showed up, my concerns were in black. The new concerns are in blue. I didn't get text messages or anything like that either. What I did hear was there was a possibility of indoctrination in our schools. I got three kids in the school. Luke Baird's a senior. Nick Baird's a freshman. And Chloe Baird is a seventh grader. You know, I'm here to talk to you as a parent. And just things that were available to me this afternoon on the website from the Ohio Department of Education, I'd like to just share with Board of Education. Citizenship, Rights and Responsibilities, Grade 10 Indicator. These are from the Ohio Content Standards. Describe the ways which government policy has been shaped and set by the influence of political parties, interest groups, lobbyists, the media, and public opinion, with emphasis on, and they list examples, extension of suffrage, labor legislation, civil rights legislation, military policy, environmental legislation, business regulation, and educational policy. I'm positive that teacher was aware of that content standard, and by choosing that movie, looked directly at that standard and probably marked it on his lesson plans. I'm doing my job. I heard the board speak about transparency. You want transparency to the parents, but you want to be opaque with our students and not show them. We want transparency. Luke Baird, I want him to know about that movie. And I want to know whether or not he agrees with it. I don't watch that kind of stuff. That's not my interest. That's his social studies teacher's job. That's what should be happening in our school. That's not what should not be happening. Also on the Ohio Department of Education website was a link to the Ohio School Board Association guidelines for being a school board member. There are nearly as many philosophical theories about boardmanship as there are board members. However, there are some acceptable guidelines. Your role is one of governance, not school management. I agree. You should be able to ask those questions. Those questions should be asked. But don't get defensive when people show up to answer your question. consider adopting the following in your role as a member of the Board of Education. These are my words. These are from the Ohio School Boards Association website. While serving as a member of the Board of Education, you accept the responsibility to improve public education. I don't know who put this committee together, but I do have some concerns after watching this. Historically, we've had great, wonderful, I was one at one time, teachers in this district. I saw in that financial report things about evaluations and teacher pay. We're not going to attract those teachers looking into the future as that group did. Recognize that an individual board member, you have no authority to speak or act for the board. Work with other members to establish and support effective policies. Delegate authority for the administration of the schools to the superintendent and staff. Render all decisions based on available facts and your informed, independent judgment rather than succumbing to the influence of individuals or special interest groups. Understand that the board meeting is not the place to grandstand or spring surprises. Again, exact words. Avoid conflicts of interest or the appearance thereof. Express your personal opinions, but once the board is active, accept the will of the majority.
Mr. Barrett, I'm going to give you about 30 more seconds.
Okay, thank you.
If you'd please summarize, that would be fantastic.
Read the blue now. I did hear another board speak about putting it on the shoulders of the administrators. You had in the previous slide talk of cutting administrators. Just be careful with that. I just lend caution to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking on behalf of our students as a parent. I thank the social studies teachers. I thank the board. I think it was a great discussion. But think about the things that the Ohio indicators offer, as well as the Ohio School Boards Association offers as recommendations as a school board member.
Thank you. All right, well, I think we've pretty much talked this discussion to death.
Jeff, can I just add one thing?
Absolutely.
As board members, you're going to hear stuff. People are going to ask questions, bring things to you, perhaps even to this degree where they're actually going to bring in a piece of material that's being used in a classroom by the teacher. You have to redirect that parent back to the teacher. It just has to be. We're not going to solve those things here. We're not going to solve those things in this kind of form. It has to be done with that parent going back to that teacher. That teacher defends a piece of material. If that parent's not happy at that point, it elevates. I'll parrot what Mike said earlier. There has to be a chain of command that goes along with there, but it has to be satisfied at that parent level. We're not going to be able to ever define the materials that are acceptable in our classrooms. I mean, Huckleberry Finn's been in and out. Kill a Mockingbird's been in and out. Those are classics in some eras and out in others. What we have to decide, and it's the same thing as in the movies, although I see the movie issue is a little more black and white because there is a rating system that goes along with that. And the other difference is that on the movie issue, I mean, we fell on our own sword. We weren't following our own regulations. But again, I've been in this community a long time, and I think I'm in and out of it, and I work with a lot of kids, and I work with staff. You have to have a community standard, and I think we hit the community standard. I think we hit it in this fashion. There are probably some folks out there that don't like this one, and there are some folks out there that say this is acceptable. And we have to be the judge of that. We do, as a group of us, have to judge what that standard is or isn't. And knowing full well and good we're never going to be able to satisfy everybody. We just aren't. Because there are always going to be some outliers in that. But we have to then be okay with does the policy give folks the opportunity to bring forward if they have a conflict with what's being taught. And I think that avenue is there.
How can we assess standard, though? I mean, because if I look at the, just in the 1 year I've been on the board, we had this situation, this movie, and you go back to the rated R movies. I mean, how do you determine the community standard? I mean,
community
most of the time, it's you got a room full of teachers, and then you got, I mean, in this case, there's nobody really that showed up from the community.
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot.
I understand, but I'm just saying that this wasn't announced as a...
since the movie standard went into the reformatted one, we've had almost three quarters of a year of school. Not about half of this one and the other. Every day we send 1,500 kids to school, thereabouts. We've had not one issue.
So that's how we do it. And that's fine.
How else are you going to know?
Question. I want to understand, yeah.
How else I mean, that's almost a million school days.
Per kid,
in and out, every day.
School.
Where are the issues? If they're lying, you're going to know if you're not hitting the standard. Trust me. Because there are ways for folks to communicate that, and they do. If we're out of bounds, we'll know it. We're going to know. You will know it. We're not out of bounds.
And so the proper channel to make sure I understand that right through the movie policy is that it's a parent brings a complaint to the administrator or the teacher, and then
it has to be done that way.
Right, and
it has to be. Just to the professionalism of it.
Sure. And how does that? Let's say there is that parent represents a larger segment of the community. How does that filter through that process?
And that has to be at an administrative level or at that teacher level with that broader base of community people.
Because I mean, I look at the movie policy. It basically says that one individual parent can't change anything within the district. So, you know, maybe that's. I guess I'm just trying to understand how.
The issue there is that there are always going to be one. There probably could be 120 or thereabouts, but where's the balance out?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, you're always going to have to be the judge of that. We're going to have to be the judge of that.
All right. Well, I guess
whoever's sitting in this seat, whether it's me or somebody else, they're going to be probably the judge of that to bring forth the recommendation that would change a standard.
All right, well, just so I get it, just to end our discussion, so we get a kind of a temperature for where we're at on changing this particular policy. I think you and I know where we stand. To change that policy.
I don't think we're in a position to change it. Even where I stand, I don't think right now we're at a point to change it. But I don't even know what to recommend about changing it.
Okay.
So I'd say, if nothing else, future discussion.
Okay. Okay.
I like to say something else, though.
Sure.
And this is speaking on behalf of Doug. I know I've been on the board for a few years.
a long time.
And what Doug is doing and saying and bringing before every, you know, these issues, I think is healthy. I really do. I think Doug challenges us in a lot of areas, and I think that's good. I don't know that we've been challenged like this in the past, and I think it's something that... is great, and I think Doug is is an excellent board member. He knows the depth of a lot of the things that's happening, what's going on, the finances, the policies. He keeps you on your toes, and I just wanted you to leave here not thinking that Doug is just one of these guys out to get you, but he does a great job as a board member here, and he does do a great job on challenging us, such as tonight. So.
Do you have anything to add to this discussion before I close it out? Fernberg?
No.
All right. Then we're going to move on. If you all want to stay for the rest of this board meeting, you're welcome to. If you'd like to leave, now would be the opportunity to go. All right, then. We're moving on. Not you. Okay, next up is revision of the high school course planning book.
Yeah, the revision of the high school course planning book. Matt, do you want to speak to that in any way at all?
I think everything's
Actually, Tracy did have an interesting question about that I was interested in as well, and I think it had to do with
the World Studies English 9 connections.
Yeah,
it sounds interesting.
It is interesting, and actually, we have one of the teachers here.
What luck!
Put her on the spot. Actually, it's a if you look at the chronology, the path that World Studies follows, and you look at some of the topics covered, some of the readings that books that are available, mostly non-controversial. That's a joke. they kind of mirror each other, and so we're going to try to we've seen this in other districts in Central Ohio, where the kids will have the same English 9 teacher, the same World Studies teacher. They will so they'll really bring more of the English in sync with the World Studies. So they're studying there's the cultural piece, literary piece, along with the historical piece, and they'll have like assignments. And
answer your question.
It just sounded really interesting, and then I see that it's a pilot course, and I was aware of another pilot course a few years ago that was very successful at the middle school in the advanced language arts. So I was just curious.
No, I think that's not two things that would
because play. Where we put the classes together in the schedule, so it also provides an opportunity for them to bring the classes together and do some things experientially.
Great. Thank you. Did you have any other comments about the handbook? Any other questions about the handbook revisions?
That was
very well done, I might add. I actually read through it all. Very helpful, even if you don't have kids.
The course planning process, once the courses are planned, the handbook is finalized, the scheduling process begins right after the first of the year with the kids. They will get the handbooks or the planning books and start scheduling for next year.
Right.
So that process goes pretty quickly after you get back to the operation.
All right, I move that we accept the revisions additions to the high school course planning handbook.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraser.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 12 is a staff resignation. I recommend that we accept the resignation of Diana Riley as custodian.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 13 is a staff termination. I recommend that we approve the termination of employment of Tanya Johnson as the bus driver effective December 2nd under the provisions of the 90-day probationary period for unsatisfactory job performance.
So any questions about that one? A nod or anything will work?
Okay. So moved.
You get a second? Second. Move to second. Roll call.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Item 14, leave of absence. We have two leave of absence that I'm recommending. Both are unpaid, and both the dates are, anticipated dates are there.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Item 15.
Motion carries.
I'm sorry.
Holy cow.
Moving. item 15 is employment of district staff. It recommended that the following staff members be approved on 1-year limited contract basis.
Any questions about those? Nope. Not any motion to accept that, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 16, supplemental contract amendment.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I know. This is because We accepted the contract resignation of one of our Honor Society members after she had started the year.
Is that why it's 92%?
Yeah, she already started part of the year, so a wonderful accounting group calculated what was remaining of the contract. And that's the 92% of that contract.
Even with the broken wrist.
Susan Kubitz.
Even with the broken wrist, you got that?
Yeah, she, even with the broken wrist.
She had to round up.
She has to take slip falls and what's the other thing?
Slip falls. You only need a 70.
she failed.
So moved.
Sorry.
Second. Moved in second.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Reagan.
Yes.
Mr. Breaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 17, supplemental contract outlined below are specific recommendations related to employment of certificated and non-certificated individuals and supplemental positions for the 10-11 school year on an as-needed basis.
And elementary plan is what?
The plan, that's play.
Oh. Okay.
Play musical.
Okay. Shouldn't they be planning already?
Yeah, I sent a note out this afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll see you too late. Any other questions about those supplemental contracts?
No, that was
I need a motion to accept those then, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call. Second. John Bill.
All right.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Rady.
Yes. Motion carries.
Item 18, district substitutes and home instructors. Listed below are substitutes and home instructors recommended for employment for the 2010-11 school year on an as-needed basis.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Mayne.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Breaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 19, student teachers. It is recommended that the following student teachers be approved for the 2010-11 school year. You have four of them there. All from
Ohio
State.
Northwood?
They're all in Northwood. For, all placed there for some reason.
So moved.
Second. Move in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Breaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mayne.
Yes. Motion carries.
Item 20, district volunteers. It's recommended that we recognize the following volunteers for the 2011 school year. And again, we recognize volunteers so that they're covered underneath our liability insurance.
So moved.
Second.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mayne.
Yes. Motion carries.
Item 21 is the 2010-11 French exchange program. Since 1998, the high school foreign language department has participated in an exchange. The French have already been here, so this would be an exchange back for us. It's
back.
Typically done over, right, coincides with our spring break. So if our staff is missing any days, they're missing just a couple on either side of that. So it really is not much of a cost to the district. There's a huge benefit to the district for this exchange.
So moved.
Second. Moved in second. Roll call.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Oui.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 22, student overnight trips. The request for the following student overnight trips. One is for the Teaching Professions Academy. Go to a conference in Atlanta, Georgia. That's paid for through High Point. And the other is the softball team going to Myrtle Beach. And again, all the expenses there are paid by the boosters or the parents.
I didn't see a line item on there for board members to Myrtle Beach during that time.
Can I take my club?
They have snow there right now.
Yeah, well, I didn't say today, but...
A lot of snow there right now.
So moved.
Second.
Moved in second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
23 donations to the district. There are several there, including the Elks once again gave dictionaries to all our third grade students throughout the district.
Wow.
They've done that for the last several years, so again, nice combination of donations there.
So moved.
Second. All right, moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Freudberg.
Yes. Okay, motion carries. And I do want to point out that we are grateful for those donations. To
yes,
very much.
Item 24 is fundraiser request. Raymond Elementary for the sale of the Raymond Christmas Program DVDs.
So moved. Second. Moved and second.
Mr.
Freudberg. Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer. Yes. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
And item 25 is an executive session for the purposes of discussion of personnel.
Right. So I'm going to open up for public participation briefly. If anybody else wants to address the board one last time before we close down, this is your time. No takers? Okay, if not, then we move into the executive session. Yeah. Move to the second, roll call. John.
Hi.
Yes.
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 Okay. Take 5 minutes to skip.